Scripture. And we're going to be looking at some of the verses that use the word sloth. And this passage we're looking at tonight, sluggards. So we're going to be looking at seven of the characteristics of a slothful man or a sluggard man. Now, I could put the picture of a slug, a little snail or a slug up in front of you, or put the picture of a sloth. That's a real sloth. And gives you a good idea of what a sloth looks like. But let's get right into it. Normally take, as I mentioned, 7 weeks to cover this, but I'm going to just give you the whole ball of wax here. Number one, the slothful man, the sluggard, the slothful man, is self-deceived. It says in Proverbs 26, verse 16, the sluggard is wiser in his own conceit than seven men that can render a reason. You don't want to accuse a slothful man of being lazy. It's like catching a mama bear and with her little babies, her whelps, and grabbing one of her whelps. I mean, that mama bear will tear you to pieces. You don't dare accuse a sluggard of being a sluggard. But why? It's because they're self-deceived. The slothful man does not believe he's lazy. He's quick to tell you how much he loves to work. In fact, I will give credit to the slothful man here. I think as far as students, I was just thinking about this tonight, you students in college, and many students in high school, junior high, specifically the students in college, slothful people, slothful students are the hardest working students in the student body. They're the hardest working students. You say, well, why would you say that? Well, because they're lazy all semester up until the finals, and then they stay up 3 or 4 nights all night long working hard. They're the hardest working students in the whole student body. And of course, they do miserably in their tests, and they do miserably in their character. So the slothful man doesn't believe he's lazy, and he's quick to tell you how much he loves to work. The only problem is there are a few obstacles in his path that must be taken care of before he works. One of my favorites is this. Here goes a slothful young man or young lady right past me. I'm thinking the food bank. I'm thinking other areas of work days or whatever. They go right by you, Pastor Jono. Right by you, real quick. Where are you going? Well, I'm on a mission. I've got to go give word to. And they give their best friend, their mother, their father, whatever it is. They're on a mission. Of course, you watch them. Pretty soon they're out ducking out behind one of the buildings. Or they're over with some of their other friends. I overheard them last week saying, watch out, Pastor Scott's going to get you if he sees you. But they don't like to work, but don't accuse them of being lazy. They've got some obstacles they got to take care of before they can work. And you know, he must have better working conditions before he starts the job. And you can often detect a sluggard by his excuses. Let me give you one. If I work too hard, it could be injurious to my health. After all, you have heard that too much work is bad for the health. Well, here's another favorite one. You know, there must be an easier way to get this job done. So consequently, the most important issues in life seem to get pushed to the side. Why? Because a slothful man has a flimsy excuse for neglecting them. Interesting, I came across a list of the 10 most common excuses used by office workers in a large corporation. These are office workers. Here's their excuses. Number one, I didn't realize it was such an important matter. Oh, really? Yeah, otherwise I'd have done it. Here's another one. It slipped my mind. I forgot. That's one of their favorites. Or, I thought you were going to check back with me. It's like, it's not my fault, it's your fault. It's the boss's fault. Or, You know, the problem did not fit into my job description. I didn't sign up for this. Or, here's another one of the excuses. I didn't know there was a deadline. Nobody told me the date that it had to be done. Or number six, I thought we should wait to ask the boss about the details in this matter. That's why I didn't do it. I wanted to talk to the boss about giving me more details. Or, Matthew 25, this is good. I was afraid I would do things wrong. You recognize that? I mean, Matthew 25, let me just read it. Verse 24, talking about the man with one talent, Jesus speaking. He says, then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and I went and hid my talent in the earth, or hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast what's thine. I dug it up. I brought it to you. Oh, you're upset. What's the matter with you? I mean, that's Scott paraphrase. And verse 26, his Lord, his boss, answered and said unto him, thou wicked and what? Slothful servant. Thou knewest that I reap where I sow not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest, therefore, if to put thy money to the exchangers, you should have invested your money, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury, with interest. Verse 28, take therefore the talent from him. Say, hey guys, come, take this one talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he that hath abundance, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Cast him into hell. Here's another one. Number 8. We never did it this way before. That's the famous last words of a dying church. We never did it this way before. Number 9, it seemed like work to me. I was trying to figure an easier way to do it. Right? Number 10, I couldn't find the equipment and supplies I needed to get the job done, so I just didn't do it. Oh, did you call anybody? Well, no. Did you Google it? No. Does your smartphone work? Yeah. Did you ask for help? No. I just couldn't find the equipment and supplies I needed to get the job done. So, number 1, slothful man is self-deceived. Doesn't think he's slothful, doesn't think she's slothful. Number 2, and this is the one that most people remember. The slothful man makes soft little choices, little soft choices. Verse 10, yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. You know, slothfulness doesn't come upon a person all at once. You know that? All of a sudden, boom, you're slothful. You know, slothfulness, laziness comes on gradually. It's like cancer that starts small. Progressively takes over other cells in the body until the body is completely saturated with cancer. Slothfulness comes upon a person who gradually surrenders himself to the little choices in life. You say, what do you mean? Staying in bed just a few minutes longer than you had planned. Now, I think you ought to get lots of sleep, plenty of sleep, but sleep on purpose. Sleep on purpose. One writer said, experience has taught us that laziness may get a man a good day's rest, but in time it will cost him dearly. Yeah, I've talked to those that are successful in sports or business, ministry. I find one thing common. They're all tired. All right? They're all tired. Why? Because they're working hard. Right? Here's another one. I can wait one more day before I start on that project. I will wait until it's a little warmer outside. I don't need to put that sock away. It's like you walk into my shop. Some of you have. Hopefully you won't find any tools on the floor, but you may. You find, here's the way it works. Busy working on a machine, a mower, and you've got a time constraint, and you got to finish, you got to get out and mow, so boom, leave the tools on the floor, on the ground. Well, you come back from work, you're too tired. Amen, Sean? You've been here. You're too tired to pick those tools up, you get them tomorrow. And the next day, you have another mower. You gotta sharpen the blades, and so you got some extra blades. Just leave them there, and so pretty soon they're strewn all over. Do you know that? You ever heard of hoarders? Yeah, that's what they do. I gotta have that, so I'll just stick that right here. One soft choice. I'll clean that later. It's like dishes. Hey, I'll stick it in the sink, and I'll get to it later. Well, later comes, and then you've got another meal, and so you stick those on into the sink. And now you've got a sink full of dishes with spaghetti, pancake syrup, butter, ketchup, maggots. And you got a whole bunch of dishes. Not just that. You've got silverware everywhere that's used. So now what do? Well, you clean it off, spit on it, wipe it off, and now it's clean. It's like you do in Africa. Just spit on it. Look at it. Just wipe it off. Look, we're going to use this. And look at that. I don't see any germs on there. So soft little choices. That's the way your bedroom is. I'm one sock here, one sock there. Pretty soon, five socks. Then what am I going to wear? Mom hasn't washed any of my clothes. Why? You haven't put them in the wash. You haven't put them in the pile for her to wash. So now you wear that same pair of socks you've worn for 5 days in a row. You throw it against the wall and it sticks. All right? Soft little choices. I've done this with some of my grandkids. I've done it with our workers. I walk around my garage and I'll, box after box, and I'll say, soft little choice. Soft little choice Pastor Scott made. Soft little choice, soft little choice. Well, I spent all day, my wife would tell you today, trying to clean the garage. That's because of what I'm preaching, honey. I want to have a life message as I preach. She's been very impressed with me today because of my hard work ethic. You're such a wonderful husband. Well, now she knows why I did that. Or like mowing the lawn. It's not quite dry enough outside. It rained about 2 hours ago. Our rule is if the sidewalks are dry, go ahead and mow. But your rule, or the softful man's rule, is, oh, it rained yesterday. I'm going to let it get a little bit drier. After all, wet grass is bad for the blades. And so, anyway, Proverbs 20, verse 4, the sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore shall he beg and harvest and have nothing. He won't do it. It's too cold. It doesn't take long before these soft little choices become a disabling habit of life. It's like Proverbs 19:15. Slothfulness casteth into a deep sleep, and the idle soul shall get F's or D's. Amen, Ben? Shall suffer hunger. Hopefully you're getting good grades. Number three, a slothful man is not a self-starter. Proverbs 12:24, the hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. You see, to the slothful man, one day is as good as another. Oh, well, I'll do it tomorrow. No biggie. His philosophy is to live for the moment, and the future will take care of itself. And he doesn't realize that one day he's going to have to give an account to God for what he did with his time. Are you with me? So here's what happens. Here it is. Chick-fil-A. Where's Cecil? Well, I don't know. He was supposed to be here at 6:45 to open up. I mean, it's 10 o'clock and still not here. What happened? Well, probably slept in. Really? Yeah, you know, he does that once in a while. You know, what happened last night? You know, we showed up. This happened last week. Hannah's parents, they showed up at a restaurant that closes at 8. And they showed up at 7, 7:30, whenever it was. And the workers said, we can't serve you. Because we're cleaning up. I'm thinking, man, call the boss. Let him know he's losing precious, precious opportunities to make money because you've got lazy workers. They probably have a date at 8:30 or whatever it is. And so the boss will pay for it. Boss doesn't know about it. I mean, today, Karen and I ate at Smashburger. And out in front, there was trash that hadn't been emptied. Bathrooms were messy. The soap dispenser hanging from the wall. There was a fella, I think he's in his 20s, maybe 20. A young man was working and watching him wipe off tables. Here was the soft choices. Here's what he was doing. It wasn't a self-starter. He'd take a rag and... Go to another one, boom, 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 you know, where instead of washing the whole table, just beep, beep, and he was jigging. You know, he was all jigging. And, you know, I asked him a question, and it's like he's mad at me. But, look out. There's a young man that I would never trust to open up or to close. I'm thinking of the years that my son's had in soccer. You know, soccer tryouts. They had an unsaved coach. And he was an ex-military man. And a boy showed up late to practice during the two-a-days or the tryouts and one of the varsity players. And guess what? He ended up running all of practice. All time in practice. Running laps. Running laps. Blake? Does your coach allow you to be late to practice? What happens if you're late? What? Mountains? You skate up and down? All practice? You like that? No, it's no fun. All right. I mean, boys late, they sleep in the afternoon. The coach puts them down on another field to practice with the JV and the freshmen. Why? He won't even allow them to practice with the older ones. Why? They're lazy. I remember a Tuesday morning practice, and it was 9 a.m. practice. JV coach told me about a young man. He says, he slept in today. If he doesn't make the varsity squad, I don't want him either on JV. By the way, parents, if you have to shake your young person to get him out of bed in the morning, something's wrong. Now, you think about it. He's going to get into a job, and you're not going to be around, Mama, to shake him. And he's going to lose a job, and he'll start to get another job. He's going to lose another job. Why? Because he's not a self-starter. He'll sleep in when he gets to college. He'll miss classes. You know what the favorite tool of a slothful man is? Yeah. Snooze button. That's his favorite tool. I think the snooze button on your radio or your alarm is one of the biggest curses to teaching you diligence. Now, before we go to bed at night, I think we ought to consider what our schedule is the next day and plan accordingly. Listen, you may need 10 hours of sleep. Then do it on purpose. But set your alarm for a time that you've got to get up and trust your alarm when it goes off. Trust it. Unless you're like my roommates in college. They set all the clocks in our room, I don't know, two or three hours earlier. including my clock. My alarm went off so I could get up, have time in the Word, get to class. So my alarm went off, got in the Word, got dressed, went outside, and it was dark outside. Now, I don't suggest that. Don't trust your alarm if you got a bad roommate. But set your alarm for a time where you've got to get up, get out of bed, and be a self-starter. Number four, a slothful man will not finish the tasks. Will not finish. Turn to Proverbs 24. Proverbs chapter 24. Look at verse 30. Here he is again. I went, Proverbs 24, verse 30. I went by the field of the slothful. And by the vineyard of a man void of understanding, right? Void of understanding, I always say a stupid young man. Empty-headed, void. Did not see the future consequences of his present actions, understanding. Here he was, and lo, here's his field. It was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof. The stone wall thereof was broken down. Now, here's my opinion. This is all this is. Here's what I think happened. This young man started out right. He started out great. It took him a lot of time to plow the field, pull out the rocks, the trees, the weeds, plant the vines, or he inherited it. I imagine the first few years he did great taking care of the vineyard, but before long, it's all trashed and full of weeds. And the stone wall at one time looked nice and did the job of keeping the robbers and the rodents out. But now look at it. It's all broken down, one rock at a time. Broken down. Took years for that to happen. He started out great, but he didn't finish the job. One writer put it this way. A slothful person is lethargic in everything he does. Every job becomes a mountain in his path, not a door of opportunity. Opportunities for more work to the sluggard. Listen, to the slothful man, opportunities are not recognized as a blessing. Instead, he views more opportunities for work, hear me, as an infringement upon his comfort and sleep. You give him a job to clean up, what does he do? Leaves tools out, doors open, lights on. Doesn't finish. You know, painting a house. I mean, he gets the whole house painted. Looks beautiful, except the trim. He didn't paint the trim. Hey, you done? Oh, yeah. What about the trim? What, you got a problem? Are you critical of me? Yeah, I am. Why don't you get up there and paint the trim? And then he paints the trim. And now, hey, you done? Yes. How come all these paintbrushes are around full of paint? Tools. Your drop cloths are around. You've left everything, your tools are around. Hey, what's your problem, Pastor? How about the sound system? I know for years I traveled with youth groups that would take our own sound system. We set it up and take it down. I give a slothful young man a job to take it down and put it away. We get to the next place. Where are the mics? Yep. Oh, Pastor, I left them back behind. I mean, I remember South Sheridan, when I was a youth pastor there, I had a young man, an older man, responsible for setting up our sound system for the youth group. And I'd arrive Sunday morning, we'd have a youth staff meeting. They were all ready to go, and chairs set up, and sound system set up, and then I go to check the sound system. Turn it on. Yeah, turns right on. Tap the mic, tap the microphone. Doesn't work. Tap it, doesn't work. Why? Just one little connector. One little connector that connects the cord into the amplifier. Where's that little connector? Well, of course, we didn't have use of the whole sound system. And afterwards, I talked to the man, and he looked at me with disgust. Hey, Pastor Scott, I set up the system. What more do you want? I said, did you try it out? Yes, I did. I tried it. Did it work? Well, no. Why? I couldn't find a little connector. Did you call anybody? No. Did you try to get hold of me? No. By this time, he's angry. Problem is, he's a sloth. It's like you sweep the floor. Hey, my job is to sweep the floor. Sweep the floor. But you sweep it up. Great job. You leave. One problem, though. You left a pile of dirt on the floor. You're not finishing the job. It's like changing the oil in your driveway. You leave dirty oil spots all over the driveway. What's your problem? I changed the oil. I put the tools away. Well, clean the driveway now. Proverbs 18:9. He also that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is a great waster. I won't spend much time there. But it's like this. Hey, you got a half of a hamburger left. Rather than put it in a little container, put it in the fridge, eat it for lunch or someday, just throw it away. Just throw it away. It says, he that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is a great waster. Andras Berzin. Andras, remember him? What a guy. I mean, all of his electrical work, he takes strips, he does the wires, and he strips the wires into little 1 inch. He clips them off, 1 inch of copper, one at a time, and he saves them and turns them in after he's got a full bucket full and makes some pretty good money out of the copper. Instead of just throwing them away, sweeping them up, tossing them, putting them in the trash. You see, he that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is great waster. Hey, just throw it away. You know, you find, here's my biggest problem. You know, with our job, we have lots of, Chris knows this, lots of little bits for power screwdrivers, these little bits. We probably have 30, 40 of them. And so we find them on the floor. My problem is, rather than pick it up, bend over, pick it up, just sweep it up and throw it out. But I don't anymore because I look at that as a tool. That's a tool. This costs money. And you, one at a time, they build up, and you're that whole mentality with your tools and with things that mean a lot, you waste it. God says, he is slothful in his work, his brother to him that's a great waster. Number 5, a slothful man lives in a world of fantasy. He lives in a world of make-believe. Turn to Proverbs 21. Proverbs 21. Look at verse 25. The desire of the slothful killeth him, for his hands refuse to labor. Watch this now, 26. He coveteth greedily all the day long, but the righteous giveth and spareth not. The first part of the verse says, the desire of the slothful kills him. That strong lust, that greed, that desire just kills him. I mean, it hurts. He wants it so bad. He thinks, one writer said, he thinks to live by wishing, not by working. It frets him to death. It destroys him. I want that so bad. I want it so bad. I want to be an Olympic champion. I want to be the best in hockey. I want to be the best in whatever you're in. I want to be an A student. I want to be the best in my musical abilities, I'm going to do that. But your desire, if you're lazy, kills you. Why? For his hands refuse to labor. His hands refuse to labor. One old-time writer, commentator, said this. He could spend his whole lot time in busy idleness. Here's what I think busy idleness is. You ready? Right here. Watch me. Busy idleness. He's busy. Right? It says he could spend his whole life in busy idleness, but for useful labor he has no heart. He's a prey all day long to greedy covetousness, thus dreaming of the end without mortification or putting to death of godly exercise. He dies with his desires in his mouth, envying those whose industrious diligence enables them to give and spare not. You know what? Let me just say this. Lazy people mean well. They mean well. They sincerely have a desire to work. They really want to get straight A's. They want to be in quizzing. They want to do all these things. They really do. They want to accomplish their goals, but they're living in a world of fantasy. You know, they really want to do right. They make spiritual decisions. Hey, I made a decision. I committed my heart to the Lord. I decided I was going to be pure. I was going to be godly. I was going to memorize the Word and study the Word. And they're serious about it. Oh, boy, I wish I knew the Scriptures like he does. Yet the slothful man won't discipline his life to memorize. I wish I won souls to Christ like she does. Yet you won't discipline your life to take a training class to learn how to do it. You won't come to Sunday school. You won't even tell a person about Jesus or invite someone to church. Your desire is killing you. But your hands are refusing to labor. I wish I could play an instrument like he does. Yet you won't discipline yourself to practice. No, wait a minute. You do practice, though, because you have to. And you are required to practice by your mom, your dad, a half hour a day. So what do? You plink, 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 play chopsticks, da, da, da. You're going through all the motions. You're practicing the same mistakes for a half hour. You're lazy. And that's why you're not getting better. You see, the slothful man will actually make life-changing spiritual decisions. You know what? I'm coming forward. What's your decision? I'm going to study God's Word every day. Good. Thank God. Lord, help Cecil here to study your Word every day. I'm going to pray every day. I want to develop a prayer life. Bless Cecil here to be a prayer warrior. I'm going to be faithful in the house of God. I'm tired of missing church. But you can't get your lazy carcass out of bed. Proverbs 6:9, back to the passage. How long are you going to sleep? How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? It's like, hello? It's knocking on your head while you're sound asleep. Hello, how long are you going to sleep? When are you going to get up out of sleep? Let me see here. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber. In fact, Scripture talks about you turning on your bed like a door turns on its hinges. Back and forth, back and forth. Now it's 8, now it's 9, now it's 10. You got 10, 11, 12 hours of sleep. You had a little folding of the hands to sleep. Oh, this is so comfortable. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth. They want this in our man. The thought there is you're going on a trip. You're taking money with you. You're not taking any sword or anything to protect you. And you're robbed and you have nothing. That's what it says. It's like a neighbor boy we had and the boys growing up in high school. I mean, he told everybody he's going to be an Olympic soccer player. Remember? Oh, really? Yeah. Never worked out. There's a smoker. Oh, but I'm going to be an Olympic soccer player. Now I think he's in his 30s, 40s. Can't keep a job. Olympic soccer player? No. Bum? Yes. One writer said, the man who's too lazy to move his limbs or open his eyes, like this sluggard, like this slothful you see in front of you, is not too lazy to have a desire. Within the bosom of his lazy carcass, he hatches swarms of desires. He covets social prestige. He wants to be popular. He wants someday to be in a position where people respect him. He covets mental furniture. He wants intelligence. and perhaps moral goodness. He says, but he's too indolent. That means lazy and slothful. He's too indolent to make the necessary efforts to gain them. I like this quote. No one ever climbed a hill just by looking at it. That make sense? So notice the verse 26. He coveteth greedily all the day long. He aches for it. He craves it. He desires it. He dreams about it. He really wants it. He coveteth greedily. He has an excessive desire to do it, to possess it. He's extremely eager and desires to do it. He's greedy to do it. He sees others enjoying the benefits of hard work, and he sincerely covets to be like them. Wants to have a nice house. Wants to have a nice lawn. Wants to have a car that's clean and waxed and shoes polished and nice teeth instead of booger teeth. Wants a nice clean house and wants it picked up. In sports, he wants to be on a starting squad of the varsity team. And in wrestling, he wants to win his matches. And spiritually speaking, he wants to quote the word, wants to have an effective prayer life, wants to win lost friends to Christ. But the righteous giveth and spareth not. I want you to notice something about that verse. But the righteous. Slothful, slothful does this, slothful, slothful. But means now the opposite of slothful. But on the other hand, the righteous. What is that saying? Slothful man is not righteous. The opposite of a slothful man is a righteous man. Not only are slothful people lazy people and selfish people, but slothy people are wicked people. One writer said, diligence gives the power to give, but it also gives the desire to give. One writer, Ben Jonson's his name, wrote in the 1500s. English playwright, poet, actor, literary critic. Back then, if you stole something, you'd be hung. Here's what he says. Quote, see the issue of your sloth. Watch this now. You're going to have to think about this. Of sloth comes pleasure. Of pleasure comes riot, riotous living. Drinking. Drugs. Of riot comes disease. Of disease comes spending. Of spending comes want. Of want comes theft. And of theft comes hanging. All starts with slothfulness. Number six, quickly. The slothful man does damage to his employer. Turn to Proverbs 10. Proverbs 10. Look at verse 26. As vinegar to the teeth. You ever drink vinegar? And as smoke to the eyes. You ever gone camping? Got smoke in your eyes, grilling? Vinegar to the teeth, smoke to the eyes. So is a sluggard to them that send him. Vinegar to the teeth. There's that. Let's talk about unripe grapes, sharp vinegar. It sets the teeth on edge, actually causes pain to your teeth and mouth. You drink it, it deadens your taste buds, so you can't enjoy food. It's like taking your fingernails and scratching it down a blackboard. Vinegar to your teeth. And then a smoke to the eyes. It stings your eyes so they swell up with tears. It affects your vision. Now, symbolically, I think it affects your vision of life. It gives pain to the eyes, so you have to close them and rub them. It impairs your vision. It makes your eyes turn red. And for some, it causes blindness. This seems to say that a slothful employee, a worker, you're a slothful person working for Chick-fil-A. New illustration. It seems to say that a slothful employee is not only an unproductive employee, but destructive to the boss. Does more damage to the business by being there than being absent. I can see that. I mean, why is that? Because he lacks initiative and follow through. It becomes very costly to his employers. And he wastes a lot. He throws things away. He wastes a lot. Lazy people, very wasteful. He wastes time, wastes materials, wastes energy. You know, just a word about wasting time. I believe every child of God ought to be intently aware of his resources and what he's doing with them. You ought to be intently aware of your talents that God's given you, of the finances God's given you, of your material possessions God's given you, of your ministry God's given you, of your time God's given you. God says we're to redeem the time, buy up epochs of opportunity. Why? Because the days are evil. Dr. Leslie Weatherhead, and this is for some of us older saints, in his book, Time for God, has mathematically calculated schedule which compares a lifetime, or 80 and 10, with 90 years, with the hours of a single day from 7 in the morning till 11 at night. For instance, if you're 15 years old, your clock is 10:25 in the morning. If you're 20, it's 11:34. If you're 25, now it's noon, past noon, 12:42. If you're 30, it's 1:51. If you're 35, now it's 3 in the afternoon. If you're 40, it's 4:08 in the afternoon. If you're 45, it's 5:16 in the evening. If you're 50, it's 6:25 in the evening. If you're 55, it's 7:34. If you're 60, it's 8:42 at night. If you're 65, it's 9:51. If you're 70, it's 11 p.m. Then he stops there. You know, I think there are times that we as God's people, God's children, ought to be strongly challenged. Be diligent. Don't be wasteful, especially of time. Listen, don't waste time. You know, oftentimes an employer, your boss, will want to fire a slothful person. Now, I think this is big. He wants to fire this lazy person, but he's not. He doesn't do it for some reasons. One is he feels sorry for him. He cry, give me another chance. Or maybe legally, maybe there's some legal issues. So what does he do? Here's what he does. He puts that lazy employee into a non-impact job. A job where it doesn't influence anybody. Or he'll create what I call a nothing job for him just to keep him out of the way. Or here's what he'd do. He'll put him under another young person or a person a little bit older to supervise or monitor his every move. Proverbs 12:24 says, the hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. Now, last of all, the slothful man, young person, older person, is a victim of unreal fears. Turn to Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22. Look at verse 13. The slothful man says, there's a lion outside or without. I'll be slain in the streets. Now, fact is, in that culture, lions are seldom found in the fields during the day and almost never in streets. I'm surprised this slothful man sleeps in his house. Why is that? Houses catch on fire. Don't you know people get in severe accidents in their house? Did you know that people actually choke on their food in their house? They slip and fall in the bathtub. I'm falling and I can't get up. You know, it's a false excuse. Lions during that time would make their home in the secluded glens, desolate forests, uninhabited deserts. And it's only on a rare occasion that a lion would be found in the streets. So sluggards, slothful men, lazy people are realists to a point. They realize they must have food to live. That's a good reality. They realize they have to come up with all sorts of excuses of why they can't work or why they can't earn money. Yeah, I mean, you check the guys with the signs out on the streets. A good number of them have reasons why they're not millionaires today. Oh yeah, I could have been a millionaire. Okay. You know they shouldn't steal, so what do? They beg. And to escape their fears, what do? They sleep. A slothful man is always looking for excuses in the spiritual realm as well. It's too late to spend time in the Word. It's too late. I get home too late. It's too early to get time in the Word. I'm too hot. I'm too cold. Too much noise around. I can't be in the Word. My schedule's too busy. I'm too tired. I need my rest. I don't have the right clothes to wear to church. Too much politics in the church. Too many hypocrites in the church. They always have excuses. One writer said that the lion in the streets is a fiction of his own lazy brain. The slothful man is ever acting thus in a secular sphere. Is he a farmer? He neglects the cultivation of his fields because the weather is too cold or too hot, too cloudy, too dry, too wet. Is he a tradesman? He finds imaginary excuses for the condition of the market. Commodities are too high. Commodities are too low. He says, is he an artisan? He finds difficulties in the place, the tools, or the materials. He's a victim of unreal fears. One writer said, laziness and cowardice are vitally associated. Lazy people are cowards. There's no heroism in the heart of indolence or laziness. There's no heroism in the heart of being lazy. Two more statements and we're done. Hey, if you're going to pick your enemies, pick lazy ones. Are we agreed? Amen if we're agreed. Yeah, pick a lazy enemy. Last is a quote. The train of failure usually runs on the track of laziness. You're headed toward failure. You're making a ruin of your life. You're making a mess of your life. Maybe it's because you're lazy. Amen? Amen or oh me. I'm so convicted when I go over this. I clean my garage all day. My wife likes it when I do this. How about you? How about in the area of spiritual discipline? How you doing there? You come here, hear me. You coming up with excuses why you can't memorize the Word? Well, so-and-so is in charge and so-and-so supports Trump. I'm not going to be inquisitive. Well, so-and-so is there, and so-and-so does this, and so-and-so has best friends, and so-and-so does this, and I just won't be inquisitive. You're lazy. You're coming up with excuses. Do I hear an amen? Yikes. All right. Father, thank you for your Word. We love you, Lord. Dear God, help us. Help us to be diligent. Not looking for excuses, not taking the simple way, not characterized by soft little choices, finishing what you've given us to do. We give you the glory. Your head's bowed. Let me ask you this, just one question. How many of you would say, Pastor, I needed this? May I see your hand? My hand's there for sure. You may put your hand down. All right. Some of you didn't raise your hand. Let me ask this. How many of you say, Pastor, I did not need this because I'm pretty well the quintessence of diligence in my life. I'm just a real diligent. Let me see your hands. All right. Father, thank you for your Word. Help us to be diligent people. In Jesus' name, amen.